So Matt was kind enough to join me in Anders' absence to put on a good show for you guys. So let me go ahead and project. I'm already projecting verbally, but we'll project the screen and that'll round this out. Somebody with a beard has to wear this in the front row because you look like a proper Viking. I'm gonna set this right here and see if Larry's gonna man up. Just saying.
Like.
All right. So for the next 45-ish minutes, we're gonna be talking to you about modernizing your automation strategy with Azure Automation and OMS, which I trust you're very familiar with today. Matt, introduce yourself.
Matthew Doust. I work at Catapult Systems, corporate practice lead for service manager and PowerShell and automation evangelist.
Those are a lot of words.
Yes.
I am Pete Zerger. I'm a principal program manager for Cyrosyn Software. We're actually one of the sponsors around the corner. We build a lot of software for ITSM and asset management that complements System Center nicely. Matt and I know each other a long time in the community. This is our first chance to actually get up and present together. So we're going to talk to you today about how to take automation as you're using it today, which is probably a lot of Orchestrator, a lot of PowerShell, maybe a little bit of SMA, and to bring your strategy into the future in a way that makes sense. So we really want to send you away today with some ideas that you can use today. So we'll be showing you some runbooks that integrate with that run from Azure Automation, that integrate with System Center, that run in your data center. Everything we show you today is going to be in our GitHub repository. It's already out there, so basically you can click the URL, our scripts or your scripts. We want this to be as useful to you as it can be. And from an enterprise portal perspective, we have to put a user experience on a lot of this automation, so we'll finish up by showing you a little bit of automation with Azure Automation on the back end, with a nice user experience on the front end. So we wanted to just take a quick poll to see who we have in the room here. So how many Config Manager folks do we have in the room? Whew. Okay, so not a lot. Opsman, how many using Orchestrator? Anybody playing with OMS yet? SMA users.
We got one.
SMA user? SMA user, I like it. How many can borrow PowerShell scripts or better and use them in your environment? Yeah, so everybody, right? We're all good. Great. And how many of you have SharePoint running on-prem or online today? Virtually everybody is what I'm talking about. So that was Matt predicting the future. He said everybody would be running SharePoint, and he was right. So Microsoft provides three platforms for automation, more or less. So we have System Center Orchestrator, which is what many of you have already indicated you're using today. So nice drag and drop, Visio-esque authoring experience. So I can drag it, I can drop it. If there's not an activity that I can drag into the canvas, I can use a PowerShell script. I can drop that into a run.NET script activity. Pretty easy to use. Orchestrator has its challenges, right? You know, parallelism, centralized logging, security, checkpointing. There's all sorts of challenges with Orchestrator that SMA actually fixed. Now, I love Orchestrator. Orchestrator is a legacy tool that Microsoft's no longer investing in, and that's totally fine. I still love Orchestrator anyway. And a lot of those problems that SMA solved, I'd already worked around in Orchestrator, so SMA was nice. It gave me PowerShell workflow capability, which took some of those things I had to work around and it built them into the stack. I could checkpoint. I could run tasks in parallel. So if I wanted to provision 100 virtual machines, SMA would do 100 at once instead of 100 one at a time like Orchestrator wanted to do. So there was a time, quite a few months ago, that Azure Automation would have been referred to even by maybe a Microsoft person as kind of SMA as a service. But it's become so much more over the last year or better. So Azure Automation, true, supports PowerShell workflow. So more or less, if you can execute that runbook in SMA, it's probably going to run in Azure Automation. You might need to upload some PowerShell modules, but it's probably going to run. Microsoft have added PowerShell support. They've provided a graphical authoring interface, although I wouldn't say it's a graphical authoring interface. First day with the new lips, sorry. Yeah. It's not a graphical authoring interface on par with Orchestrator. It's really a bit lighter in weight. Microsoft have announced general availability of Azure Automation DSC, desired state config, in PowerShell. So as you can see, the features for Azure Automation are rolling out and rolling out and rolling out. And we're not seeing quite that same pace with SMA because Azure Automation is being updated on a cloud cadence. And Microsoft has been very clear. They said it at Ignite. We're going to be updating a lot of things in the cloud first. We're going to bring that on-prem where it makes sense. And sometimes we might not, and that's okay. So let's talk a bit about Azure Automation, and I'm going to use Orchestrator just to give you, just to juxtapose the two, to give you some terms, some concepts that you're familiar with. How many Azure Automation users did we have? Show of hands? Not many. One. Come on. Bueller? All right, there's one. Thank you for that. You may be lying, but thank you for that. So Azure Automation gives us a dashboard view. So you'll notice the screenshot I have there is actually the jobs view. One of my irritants in Orchestrator was actually being able to go find the last job without having to drill down through folders to find the last job. Azure Automation, I can run it on any node anywhere. It's going to show up there right in the central pane. It's very easy. Global assets. So in Orchestrator, we created connections to ConfigMan, OpsMan, something else. That concept of connections still exists. It's called connections in Azure Automation. Credentials, we can store those in Azure Automation. We can secure them through encryption. We can create schedules just as we did in Orchestrator, and we can even create variables just as we did in Orchestrator. And incidentally, variables in Azure Automation behave just like constants, just like they did in Orchestrator. So there's a lot that's very familiar in Orchestrator. So let's hop over here to my Azure portal. So you see I have the shiny new Azure portal that's GA, and I have here pinned to my dashboard my automation account. So that automation account, think of that as the bucket, the container that holds everything that I'm going to create in terms of automation resources. And I'm looking at my dashboard here. I have my runbooks that I've imported, and some of these will be PowerShell runbook, some PowerShell workflow, some graphical. I can mix all of those up. The nice bit about PowerShell runbooks, number one, they're going to execute a little bit faster because there's no compile time. Number two, I can go borrow stuff off the internet with reckless abandon. Minus the reckless part, right? Don't test in production. Let me drill into assets here. You see I have quite a few assets. So you'll see schedules, self-explanatory, right? Connections. So I have connections here, and you'll notice that these connections have a type because I'm specifying what it is I'm connecting to. Let me drag that pane over there. So basically, I can pick the different types of connections just by adding a connection, and it's going to give me a type dropdown here. And so when people write PowerShell modules, like an Ops Manager module we'll show you later, they can actually write a connection type in there, so they can build that, they can bake that in. As they go along. And you'll see I have quite a few variables as well. So I like to store stuff. I want to secure it. I can encrypt it. All good. And then you saw back there my jobs pane. So when I want to know what's going on with the job, I can get in. I can look at the job. I can see the parameters that were passed, the input, the output, the result. Very quick, very easy, very simple. So I want us to talk a bit about, you know, how we get from Orchestrator to Azure Automation. Matt, I'm going to hand over to you for a minute. Let's have a chat about migration.
So, you know, as Pete mentioned, Orchestrator is a great product. There is a 2016 of it, but I mean, there's not much new. Azure Automation is the way of the future, and Microsoft has provided a toolkit out there to actually help you move to it. It contains three different things. So you have an integration pack converter. This is for converting your custom integration packs that you've made in your environment. There's also a standard activities module for PowerShell. They've basically taken most of the standard activities that came out of the box with Orchestrator and turned those into PowerShell modules that you can upload. And then a runbook converter to convert your existing Orchestrator runbooks into Azure Automation runbooks. Now, there are a few limitations on these. First, the IP conversion is the ones using the integration toolkit. So there's none of the third parties or the CodePlex ones or anything like that. work on those. And not all run books can be converted. So, you know, there's a couple activities that you can think of. Map published data is not going to translate to PowerShell. Same with the monitors, right? You're not going to monitor from inside of a PowerShell activity. And it's a single conversion option. It's from Orchestrator to the graphical Azure Automation runbook, which is essentially a wrapper on the outside.
Yeah, that graphical interface is not the greatest authoring experience, definitely when you're working with PowerShell. You can imagine, you know how long it takes you to put the parameters in for a PowerShell commandlet. Now imagine you're trying to configure that graphically. It actually sort of takes you in the wrong direction. That graphical interface, to be brief, is a great way to stitch together existing runbooks you have, and I like it for that. So when I'm nesting. There we go.
No, we didn't go full screen.
Sorry, I put Matt on my rig here, so it's in a strange land.
Yeah, you want to take us full screen real quick?
I will take us full screen quickly.
Okay, so just kind of a quick run through. So here I have a couple run books that I've exported out basically to reboot some VMs and using the VMware integration pack, the one that was available through TechNet. So Microsoft has made most of these available for download on TechNet for Azure Automation, pretty much everything with the exception of the System Center. And it's a pretty simple, you export it out, you can load in the module here, and then you simply run a command, you point it to your OIS export, tell it where you want it to output it to, and you get a whole bunch of warnings. It's smart enough to know, okay, I don't have this activity. So I can come down here and actually specify the module. This is the one that I downloaded just straight from TechNet, nothing else to it. Run it through, come over here, and now I see that it's created a graphical output for every single one of these. So I can simply come into Azure, import a runbook. It fills out everything there for me. Create. And now I have my new runbook.
So by your math, Matt, are we going to be using this a lot or maybe infrequently?
My suggestion would be infrequently. I would use this in a situation where it would be too difficult to think to bring this over, or if you're using custom integration packs. You know, as we mentioned, it can't do all activity types. Some of them are just wrong. I'll just really say that. Some things just don't come over well. I would suggest try it. If you spend more than 5 minutes trying to troubleshoot it after you get it in there and it's not working, your best bet is probably just to rewrite it in PowerShell workflow.
Yeah, good advice. And that's what I hear from Microsoft in the field. The other Viking who works for Premier Field over in Europe says redesign is a common theme he has out in the field as well. So, and with the prevalence of PowerShell scripts on the internet, you know, chances are you're going to be able to find somebody who's plowed some of that field before you anyway. So let's talk about runbook authoring options for just a minute. So, you know, in the portal, technically I can create a new runbook, I can, you know, call it a PowerShell runbook, and I can start writing script there. That's not a full authoring interface. Assumes I'm on the internet, I don't have all of the IntelliSense and great testing facilities that I might have down in my local system. So what I've been using for a few months now with Azure Automation is my PowerShell ISE. And I've been using the beta version of something that was released very recently here, the Azure Automation add-in for PowerShell ISE. And I don't like this thing. I love it. It just works. It never fails me. It allows me to use my automation activities locally, so I can synchronize. Imagine being able to synchronize my runbooks, my assets, and to use those locally, so I can test. So I can push changes back into my Azure environment from an authoring interface that's the same interface I use every single day. I can track state changes. I can sync my changes, and the interface is going to tell you what the state is, and then so I can test and publish my runbooks all in an interface that makes sense. So I'm going to flip over to my PowerShell ISE. Now, once you load this solution, you're going to find it basically adds this tab over to the right. So my runbooks are here, my assets are here. I can authenticate to my Azure subscription. It actually starts with that. You hit sign in, and you're actually going to sign in exactly as you would with the Azure portal. So a little redirection here. Hit my credentials. But I want to just show you how easy this is. So it'll actually sync. And if you look in the lower right-hand corner, the little gears are moving. So it's almost as easy as a child's game. I know it's not done syncing, or it is syncing something, because the gear is moving. So the gear is moving. When it stops, it's finished. I can pop over and look at my runbooks. They'll be here in just a second. Now, I want you to notice that I have an option. I have some buttons down here at the bottom, right? One of those buttons says Create New. Now, the behavior of this add-in upon installation and how you install is going to depend a little bit on the version of PowerShell you have. Load WMF 5 and PowerShell 5, and you're going to get all those buttons. If you do it with PowerShell 4, you're going to find a button or two are missing. So you want to author in PowerShell 5.0. Not a lot of reason to not do that in my experience so far. And you can download that Azure Automation ISE add-in straight from the PowerShell gallery. So we can pull that down with code, or you can go grab it off of its repository online and unzip it if that's what you want to do. So I'm going to flip over and look at my assets. And I want you to look at my assets here. You're going to notice that some things say they're in sync, and some things say they're cloud only. That's because some of those things that are in sync are variables or assets I've been working with. So I've synchronized them down to my system to work with them. So let me highlight one of those cloud only bits here. And you'll see that I have an option to download. I'm going to click download, the gear starts moving, and in a minute that's going to flip from cloud only to in sync. So if you haven't worked with Azure Automation yet, you should start with PowerShell Runbook, and you should start by working in the ISE here. It's a very familiar place for all of us to begin.
So can I run this directly from inside the ISE?
You can. Well, so I'm in the ISE there, right?
But do
so,
I have to upload it first to test my?
Well,
script?
So you want so I tend to synchronize. I tend to make sure the two places are in sync before I try to test, because Azure Automation needs those resources in order to use them. If I create a variable locally, and it's not in Azure Automation, I want to keep the two synced, because in theory you're going to see situations today where we don't even have to have certain PowerShell modules loaded in Azure Automation. Good to just keep everything in sync when we're working in a hybrid world, so we're sort of parity. Did I answer that question right?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I passed the test there.
What was that where you don't have to have the modules? And like stuff like Exchange, it's not an import module command in PowerShell, so you've got to connect out to the...
So when we get to hybrid worker, say that again and I'll answer.
All right.
Nice beard. Love you. All right, so let's talk about new automation capabilities. I've already talked about some new automation capabilities. So running Azure Automation runbooks on premises could be pretty exciting, yeah? Who's tried to synchronize orchestrator environments around the world? That's a great time. So Azure Automation is accessible via a new REST API, GitHub integration VSO, Azure Resource Manager. You've seen a look at the graphical workflow authoring tool. You can manage your runbooks from the portal as you like, all pretty straightforward. It's this hybrid worker we wanted to get to and show you a bit about. So you all saw one of the OMS sessions today with Jeremy or Dieter, or maybe what Cameron was talking about. So with OMS, we're using the Microsoft Monitoring Agent. And what the hybrid runbook worker is, when you load that Microsoft Monitoring Agent, what you don't see in the background is there's a little PowerShell module, a little hybrid integration PowerShell module there. And if I want to make any of my managed systems reporting into OMS into a hybrid worker that's capable of executing runbooks on premises, I simply need load that module and run a line of PowerShell to add that node to a hybrid worker group. When we do that, if you specify a group name that already exists, it gets added into a group, a pool of hybrid workers. If you specify a group name that doesn't exist, it creates a new group. But imagine deploying redundant groups in data centers throughout the world, and your infrastructure is Microsoft Azure. What's really exciting about this to me in one respect is that it requires no outside-in ports, because as your Microsoft monitoring agent is you know, initiating, connecting, uploading data, et cetera, you initiate a job in Azure Automation, you say, I want to run this on a hybrid worker. It gets dropped in a queue. That hybrid worker from the resource pool goes up there and looks, you know, checks in to see if there's something for it. If there's something there, it accepts it, downloads, executes, uploads the result. So if you create a hybrid worker group with more than one hybrid worker, you now have highly available automation capability in a data center. So imagine doing that in some place like China, or you know, anywhere where you don't want to invest in infrastructure because maybe it's not your main office where your people live. But the integration opportunities are pretty easy. So with that hybrid worker, I can load System Center modules on that hybrid worker and execute System Center code. I can run any of its PowerShell, I can execute it. A webhook, Matt, I'm not even going to tell you what a webhook is. Matt's going to show you here in a bit. For PowerShell modules that maybe you can't get into Azure Automation, that can only run locally for whatever reason, Azure Automation is not automatically going to load PowerShell modules on your hybrid worker. You can load them there, and just remember that the script can only run there, right? So as long as you're executing on the hybrid worker and the PowerShell's there, Azure Automation's not going to complain. If you tried to run that runbook in Azure Automation, you know, on one of the cloud-based runbook workers, then naturally that's going to be a problem. So you know, that's the thing here. The runbook workers are all cloud resident until we enable this hybrid option. So let's. I'm going to have Matt talk to you a bit about just comparing that infrastructure of Orchestrator versus Azure Automation, and what that really means as you're trying to scale out across data centers or even continents.
And so, you know, I saw we had quite a few people out here who use Orchestrator. So anybody who's used it in a, you know, a large environment knows if you have an Orchestrator server somewhere, there needs to be a SQL server near it. It's extremely chatty. We have to have good connection back to that. So it was really a per region, per data center instance of Orchestrator that you were doing. Right, and there was no centralized logging, no centralized management of anything. It was each orchestrator was its own. Right, so people were pulling reports in together, trying to sync all that data. We mentioned the synchronizing of your runbooks. You know, you had to have to go out to manually to every single orchestrator instance and upload all of your changes, and then patching. You know, there was redundancy in the runbook servers, but if you needed to patch the management server, your entire orchestrator was going down. And then managing security access across all the different ones. And it's the same story. You know, am I going to do that as a group? Which group is going to do? You know, Orchestrator itself is really not that great on providing, you know, security and access beyond just the runbook level.
Yeah, you really don't have proper RBAC there, do you? You've got administrator and you've got user, and you don't really have much in between without breaking Orchestrator in some way.
So with Azure Automation, you can get more centralized. So you have everything up in, you know, in your automation account, which is synced with your OMS, right? So you have the single point for all your runbooks, centralized logging, so everything's coming back into OMS. You have your single runbook repository. And then, you know, again, when you're patching your hybrid workers, you put multiples in a worker group, they will fail over to each other. There's no management server you have to patch. As long as one in each group is still up, you're still up and running. And then centralized security administration, so you can actually do, you know, role-based access control into your automation accounts. Say who can create them, who can run them, who can view them. There's quite a bit out there on that.
Yeah, so really if you can install the Microsoft monitoring agent and run two lines of PowerShell on a couple of systems, you can basically build that highly available automation capability in virtually any data center. So let's get to some fun stuff here. So thinking about the fact that at some level everybody in this room confessed to being a System Center person, wouldn't Azure Automation be useful if we could execute runbooks against System Center in our data center? So we've got a few things we'll show you here. Again, these are all in GitHub, so you can grab these and use them. They don't require the latest and greatest version of anything. I think our the config man run books here will probably run all the way back to 07. It's some old school WMI stuff. So what are we doing first, my friend? So zoom in there let's have a look. Ah, wow, OSD. So Matt is going to add a computer to ConfigMan and then drop it into a collection. So OSD style. I can spell OSD, and I've now shared all my knowledge of OSD. So what's going to happen here? He's going to assign this to a hybrid worker. So you see, I have the option to run on Azure, run on hybrid worker. So he will select hybrid worker. He'll pick from the pool, and when he hits go, it's going to go into a queue. The hybrid workers from those pools, the Microsoft monitoring agent on those systems, will be checking in. It's going to grab that job. The first one who comes in is going to grab that job. So that's a great point. Let's say I have some software component that's expensive for me to load per server, so I want to make sure that certain runbooks execute on a particular hybrid worker. What can I do to target a single hybrid worker when I can't target a single hybrid worker?
You can actually put that hybrid worker in its own group. So you can specify multiple hybrid worker groups. So that dropdown that we had there, you could actually go through and specify which one you wanted it to run on.
So you see there, we see the status. If Matt wants to see the input of this runbook, if he wants to see the output, in fact, we can look at the output and I can tell you if it ran or not. So it looks like this one's actually done. So in the time it took us to explain this, the hybrid worker picked it up, downloaded, executed, uploaded the results. So there was virtually no compile time. And that SCOM agent, as the great Kevin Holman will tell you, seems to be connected more or less all the time. I'm stealing your words from a few years ago, Kevin, that I think that connection is more or less open persistently, isn't it? To management servers, et cetera. See, the connections from Microsoft Monitoring Agent seem to be pretty active. And
yeah, as long as there's data flowing.
And with OMS, there's always data flowing, man.
It's going. There's our
machine. There we go. Mission accomplished. That's number one. So what else do we have here?
So let's go ahead and put it in a different collection.
Software deployment. So we're going to add a computer to a collection. So here he's using a credential where we have we're storing the just the username and password for our config manager environment. He just needs to pass in a server name. So what are we doing here? We're adding SCOM01 to a collection named SCU2016. So you're going to have to hit the button and flip over really fast because I want to actually see something that doesn't already exist. You have to sort of prove that you haven't seeded it here. It's Matt. Okay. It's Matthew Racing.
Zero.
Matthew Racing OMS. I like this.
It is pretty quick.
Yeah, and those sample runbooks there are just using old school ConfigMan WMI. So they would probably work all the way back to 07 something. Is there anybody running ConfigMan 07? I saw one hand go up sheepishly there, and I understand why. Good. So how many of you using Orchestrator or not using Orchestrator automate a lot of things with PowerShell inside or outside of Orchestrator? Yeah, so we're all running PowerShell for something, right? So Microsoft have been working on the updates to the Azure Automation PowerShell module for a while, and they came to some challenges back in the summer, and they had to make some, let's call them breaking changes to the Azure Resource Manager side, the Azure V2 side of things. And what they did was to give us kind of a long-term separation between the new Azure capability and infrastructure and the V1 that was out there. And so it was a breaking change, but it's all been fixed. And so what we'll show you here is just the new PowerShell syntax that'll be new since October. So we've got a link to the blog and the repo. Computer to collection. So I really like the speed of Azure Automation, that by the time we can explain it to you, it's done. And so there's none of that awkward waiting around. And there's really the big advantage in my mind in getting away from PowerShell workflows. A lot of times I was, PowerShell workflow has an inline script tag. So I can actually take a PowerShell script and I can embed it in workflow when I don't want to write a workflow because I'm lazy. The challenge is you're now wrapping that thing, and it makes that sucker really tough to troubleshoot. You're kind of putting yourself in a box there. So when I can now pull it out and stick it here, I lose the compile time, and I can now troubleshoot a little more easily. So running Azure Automation and Azure Automation runbooks from a PowerShell script, just triggering those, takes just a few lines of PowerShell. So you'll see the link to the raw script out there. All I did was a couple of things, and I'm not espousing anything in particular here, but I want to give you a sense of some possibilities. So you'll see that more or less I'm importing a couple of Azure PowerShell modules. Specifically, what I'm importing here is the Azure RM Profile module and the Azure RM Compute module. Those are the two you're going to need to authenticate to your sub and to execute a runbook. I'm passing in some usernames and passwords and executing a runbook up in Azure Automation. So I'm going to go ahead and kick off the runbook tester here. And what I'll do to just kind of demonstrate the round trip here, I've got a Hello World runbook. So when I set up hybrid workers, I like to make sure they're working. And I mean, I like to make sure they're really working. So I have a Hello World runbook, and it does two things. It writes a message to a file, and it actually just does a dump of all the running processes on my hybrid worker. So it just gives me that feel good that this thing is round trip, ready to roll. So I will just hit the button here.
When I set up my credentials in there, can
I'm
I just
actually
use
gonna.
Anyone?
Let me get over and actually run the right runbook. Okay, so yeah. Now ask your question.
Yeah.
Again.
So when I'm setting up my credentials to authenticate out to Azure, can I use any credential up into Azure?
So you're gonna need credentials that have permissions that have been permissioned to actually connect via the SDK. So you're gonna need some admin rights to get in there. There was just an announcement tweeted today I saw about RBAC in Azure Automation, so Microsoft's lighting up more. So here we go. Hello, SU 2016, and Kevin. So I'm going to kick that off. It's going to authenticate to my Azure sub. It's going to trigger that job. It's going to go into the queue. My hybrid worker is going to pick that up, and in a couple of minutes' time, that will have executed. So that's from my orchestrator box talking to Azure, which is going to drop that job in there, which is going to come down to its next door neighbor, my hybrid worker. So yes, he is going a long way to travel a short distance, but he does it relatively quickly, so that makes it okay. So I'll just pop in here I'm dropping that Hello World into a runbooks folder here, and I can kind of tell if it's run or not by the date and time on that folder. So I'll pop out here and look at it, and by the time I pop out here and look at it, it'll probably be done. But if I want to see if that job is actually running, I can go back to my jobs pane, and it will show up here relatively quickly. And when it's done, I'll basically get a little message in my Hello World file there. I'm going to give that a couple of minutes to do its business, and we'll come back to it. So SCOM, how many SCOM folks do we have in here? Yeah, so let's do a group maintenance mode real quick. So, and I'm actually not using the Ops Manager SDK PowerShell here, the native Ops Manager PowerShell module. I'm using Tao Yang's Ops Manager extended module, and what I like about it is Tao's written that to use the SDK, so I can do virtually anything. He even wrote a connection type in there, so I can provide my server and my creds. It's kind of a nice little deal. So server to maintenance mode, we'll kick that off. I'll put my SQL server in maintenance, my SQL servers in maintenance mode. So we'll do SQL computers, 15 minutes, testing. I'm gonna throw that to the hybrid worker so it runs there in my data center. So again, no outside in ports required. That's gonna be queued, it'll go to running. When the hybrid worker picks that up, it's gonna connect via the SDK to my SCOM server. But I really like Tao's Ops Manager extended module. He used that in a pretty extensive blogging series about automating the creation of management pack artifacts. Not something I tend to use it for, but it's a fair use just the same. So there you see my runbook is now starting. But again, where in Orchestrator we would struggle to see what parameters were passed to a runbook or even its status because I'd need to browse down to the folder and the instance of that runbook, I can see everything right here. There's my input, and here's where my output will show up when it's done. It says waiting for the job output because it's still running. And if I have any errors, the errors are going to pop up here, and I'm going to get detailed error output. In fact, not too long ago, I had a little problem where somehow the files on one of my PowerShell modules were blocked. I had to go unblock, and I was able to see the error right here in my errors node, right in a central location. So it was really easy for me to deal with. So that's kind of the idea with that central logging capability.
You can also turn on verbose logging on a per runbook basis, so you don't even have to, you know, throw all the conditions in there. You can get what PowerShell is outputting and see a complete log of everything that it's doing along the way.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, with Orchestrator, that's something we definitely didn't want to do any time we didn't have to, because it increased the runbook's footprint in the database about tenfold with every execution. So and we're still going to take that route with Azure Automation. You don't want to turn up verbose where you don't need it, but the impact to you is going to be a little bit less. But there's still a little more happening in the background, so I think you want to be kind and conserved. So that's going to take a couple of minutes to run. We'll actually come back and see the big finish on these after Matt's had a chance. Okay, so here's our Hello World runbook. It's back. Done. So a simple test. But very effective. So now I know that hybrid worker is alive and kicking and open for business. My maintenance mode is probably pretty near done right now. So anything with SQL on it is going to be in maintenance mode. And sure enough, yeah. So mission accomplished. So let's take the next step here and talk about webhooks.
So, you know, Pete just showed the example with kicking off a runbook from inside of Orchestrator using the PowerShell. There's also an API that you can do it. But now Microsoft's actually released webhooks, which allow you to pass a URL straight to Azure Automation. You can include your parameters on that. It's secure. It creates a token the first time you create that URL. You can actually never go back and see that URL again, so make sure you copy it the first time you create it, and it gives you a nice little warning about that. You can set an expiration date, so you can, you know, pass that to a developer and give them 10 days to test it, and that's the end of that. And then, you know, it's simplicity. It's a URL. It's using, you know, the REST API, and it's gonna kick off your runbook. No need for any other form of authentication. So, do a quick demonstration on this. We're actually going to take a SharePoint list, and we're going to submit a request for a SharePoint site.
Now, Matt, what kind of SharePoint is this?
SharePoint 2013, 2010, or SharePoint Online.
So you don't care if it's on-prem or even all that new?
No. Okay. And it's nothing fancy with SharePoint. It's using the built-in SharePoint workflow engine. And that is going to kick off, make the call out to the webhook, which is going to trigger the runbook on the hybrid worker, which is then going to create our team site in SharePoint, send an email out to the person who requested it, and then go back up and update the SharePoint list.
So we're going to put a request into a SharePoint portal to create a SharePoint team site. SharePoint servicing SharePoint. Yep. So yeah, and so to Matt's point, we can hard code parameters. In this case, he's going to use native workflow in SharePoint to pass our input into that list over to that runbook via the webhook.
All right. So if you saw when we were, you know, in the hybrid or in the Azure portal, it was, you know, I had to sit there and type in a MAC address. I had to remember what I named my credentials, all those type things. All right, so using a front end like this, I can come through and I can actually give drop downs to my users. You know, I want to be able to submit administrators, so we're going to go ahead and, you know, give Bill Gates full access.
Matt raises a really good point there. In Azure Automation, one of the small rough spots right now is I can't create those friendly drop down menus, with a couple of exceptions. If I want to create for Boolean variables. If I type my variables in my PowerShell, if I type it with Boolean, that'll give me a drop down. But if I want to make a nice list of choices for that less technical user, not something I can do in the Azure portal.
So I went ahead and submitted my request for the site. So we can go in this SharePoint designer here. So we can go in here and we can see what we're doing. We're just simply building a dictionary. Click in here, I'm saying my description, map it to the description. I want to get the email address to notify at the end, get the created person's email. This is all built-in SharePoint functionality. And then telling it to call my hybrid worker, so that's the big long token URL that it gives you. And telling it to pass that variable. And then I'll go ahead and set the status to in progress so that the person sitting there refreshing their screen actually knows it's going, right? So now we've flipped over to in progress. So if we go into Azure, take a look at our jobs, you see this is now running. So it's gone down onto our hybrid worker. We can actually see our inputs in here. And it puts it through in a nice JSON variable for you, which luckily PowerShell built in has the ability to parse JSON, convert to, convert from JSON. In a moment, when this completes, we will have our SharePoint site.
And there we go.
And we've completed.
Done.
So if I go back into here, refresh, I see we've marked this completed. We've told it, hey, here's your URL, and the email should arrive shortly. There we are.
Yeah, I think it popped in right as you said that.
Yeah, your SharePoint site is ready to go.
Nice demo. Very nice. And what Matt showed you there, that concept of webhook from SharePoint's been blogged a couple of times. I think Jacob from Cortec might have been one of the guys that sort of figured that out and shared that out to the world. So good on Jacob. I know Tao and a couple have put it out there. So this is definitely something you can take home, and Matt's script is your script there. So you can definitely give this a shot.
That one out on GitHub will show you exactly how to parse through that web data that comes through.
There you go. So Azure Automation is actually not so far from your data center. And from an infrastructure perspective, rolling out a global automation infrastructure is a lot less daunting, I think, in a lot of respects. A lot of those tasks around patching and synchronizing and securing are now centralized. And so in branch offices where I have machines that are multi-purpose, I can treat them for just that. I'm not installing dedicated runbook workers. I'm just dropping nodes out there to execute jobs here and there when I need them to run. And if I can load PowerShell modules on that hybrid worker, better yet, if I can remote from that hybrid worker to any node in my branch data center, I don't even necessarily need to load all of those PowerShell modules on my hybrid worker. I'm also a big fan of remoting, because if I remote to, say, VMM or vCenter or insert technology here when I'm running code locally, it's even a little more reliable. So whether you remote or you load the modules on your hybrid worker, pick your option there. But download our samples, go check out the marketplace. There are actually quite a few samples out there in the marketplace. I think you're gonna find those are PowerShell workflow heavy today, simply because PowerShell, the graphical options, etc., came a little bit later. When you sign up for OMS for the free tier, you get 500 minutes free. So that does assume that you have five runbook automation, execution minutes free. So that does assume when you sign up for OMS that you have an Azure subscription to attach it to. So you can get that with an MSDN sub. So like with my MSDN Ultimate or Dev sub, I think I get $150 a month to play around. Poke around and take some time to explore the possibilities. There's a lot out there. Couple of pages of resources here. The PowerPoints will be out there on the site, so you can grab all of the hyperlinks, etc., out to everything we've talked about, including a couple of others. That executing PowerShell to trigger a runbook from Orchestrator, I actually did a little trick on my Orchestrator runbook server to tell it to use the latest version of PowerShell installed on that system. And I did that because Orchestrator runbook servers like to use PowerShell 2.0, and the Azure Automation modules are not going to run in 2.0. There's actually a little registry key you can flip to tell an Orchestrator Runbook server that it will use the latest version of the CLR. I'm not calling that out as something supported. I'm saying it's super easy. And you want to talk to your Microsoft folks about any sort of support concerns there. But go check those resources out. Matt and I will be around for Q&A. We're coming right to the end of our time here, but you know, feel free to track us down and hit us up with any questions. Thanks, folks.